Hey everyone, welcome to Season Ticket. It's Saturday, February 3rd. We're hitting you with a special bonus edition of Season Ticket to preview Super Bowl 52. And in order to do that, we're going to get the players' perspective on this matchup between the Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles, as Los Angeles Chargers running back Melvin Gordon, Minnesota Vikings cornerback Trey Waynes, and former Steelers running back Merrill Hodge break down this game for us. First up, we turn to a guy who faced both the Patriots and the Eagles defenses this season, Pro Bowl running back Melvin Gordon. Melvin, thanks for joining us here at Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Sure.
So I want to ask you about this matchup because you guys faced both of these teams in the month of October, and you had two great games with these teams both times. When you look at the Patriots and the Eagles, who's the more talented team?
Philly.
Why do you say Philly?
Compared to our team, I wasn't, like, overly impressed with New England, but that's probably because my expectations were so, so high. You know, but they still got players. I don't want to sit here and say they don't have guys, because they definitely do. But I feel like Philly's defense was official. Like, they D-line was monstrous. Like, they were stuffing everything, man. But New England did not make many mistakes. For every mistake that you make, they make you pay. And it's, you know, that's why they win games. And obviously, when you got the best quarterback in the game, it's hard to lose, man. So.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, it was two great games. I mean, the Patriots game, you guys lost at Gillette. It was 21-13. Came down literally to the final play. You guys were at the Patriots 23, and there's an interception there. The other game, 26-24, you guys lose to Philadelphia out in Los Angeles. And so two really, really good games there. You mentioned that Philly defense. They play that wide nine, and it would seem like you'd be able to get them on draws and screens and that stuff. How do they stop from getting burnt on that stuff?
They just got the guys to play it well. You know, they know the scheme and they play it well. And that's really what it comes down to. You got some guys that buy into the system. You know, you get production. And, you know, you got Fletcher Cox holding it down. They have some guys that they're talking trash to. It was funny. It was funny. But and then they had Carson Wentz, too, at the time. And he was like a young Big Ben, but faster. It was just crazy, some of the stuff. I was like, man, we cannot tackle this dude. You know, we're out there. But now they have Nick Foles. So, you know, they're still making it work. So, yeah. I think if they had Carson Wentz, I'd be like, this no question, Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, who are you picking? Because you sort of brought it up.
Still picking Philly.
You're still picking Philly.
But I want Philly to win.
Okay.
But it's hard to go against Brady. I'm saying, every time you go against New England, Brady on that team, you're going to say that. I don't care.
Is that something, like, in the league players talk about? Like, are players in the league as tired of seeing the Patriots win as maybe the fans are?
That's why every player is probably going for Philly, because they want to see someone else with the crown if it's not them, you know? You know, Brady's holding it up every year, and we got to hear about how great he is for a whole 365 days. Like, we kind of over it, you know. So, you know, some guys want some other guys that, you know, to be able to hold that trophy up. And I just really want Jay and Corey. I'm really cool with them. I want them. And we got some Badgers on that team, too. Bo Allen and Chris Maragos.
You played with in college at Wisconsin.
Corey, I got three Badgers on that team.
Wow.
So. Yeah, and just James. James got two rings already, so.
So I was going to ask you about that. I found this. I was looking this up. It's amazing. So the 2013 Wisconsin team in that backfield, it's you, James White, and Corey Clement for the Eagles. That's a loaded backfield.
Yeah, we were stacked, no? We were stacked. It's probably one of the better backfields in Wisconsin ever, I say.
I mean, I can't imagine those practices just competing for touches and who's going
to. Oh, yeah, for sure, man. But it was fun, though. That was one of my better years. We had so much fun. We just wanted so much, you know, success for the other person, man. It was crazy because usually when it's like that, it's like, man, you taking my carries, man. Like, man, you taking food from my mouth, you know. And it wasn't even like that. Not in practice, not ever. You know, we always competed. It was what it was. We wish the next guy, you know, the best. And when we got in, we just made plays. And I think that's why we were so successful.
And you mentioned, you know, James has his rings. He's, you know, he's sort of good to go.
Yeah,
so have you already explained to James, I know you guys are cool. Have you already explained to him, like, sorry, bro, but I got to root against you in this one? Does
James,
he know?
No. James, no. James, no. But, you know, I want him to be the guy. If they do win, I want him to win MVP. That's just what it is, you know. And it's crazy the game he had. We had, like, called it out. Because, you know, his birthday's coming up, and, you know, we go out to eat a couple days before the game. And, you know, me, LeGarrette, we were all sitting down at the table, Gio. We were just hoping that he had a dope game. We were just talking about it. And then to see it come to life, the next day or whatever, it was crazy, man. So hopefully James has a great game. I wouldn't be upset if the Patriots won. I mean, it's not like they're playing the Chargers or anything like that. So I wouldn't be upset if he got another ring. I'd be happy for him. But I would love to see Jay and Corey get a ring.
And when you talk about James in that big game, he had 14 receptions in that game. He was big out of the backfield. Yeah. Obviously, he scored the winning touchdown.
Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth! What a comeback!
When you look at the Philly defense and those linebackers there, did you guys feel like when you play them that maybe if there's one sort of weakness there that you can throw on those guys out of the backfield?
You'll be able to throw on them. And, Phil was doing his thing. Keenan was doing his thing against them. And so I think, Brady will find some holes. It's Brady. He's going to find some holes. Belichick and all those guys, they're going to find some weaknesses, but it's going to come down to who make the better adjustments come second half. I think that's and Patriots are good at that. I was running on them pretty well, and then that second half, they kind of locked it down a little bit. So, like I said, you can't say that they don't got the athletes. It's easy to say they don't got the athletes when I got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and all these high-caliber players. But they got marquee guys too. They definitely got marquee guys.
Did players talk in the league about that sort of the idea, like with the Patriots, that guys don't necessarily get the same shine, adulation, because everybody just feels like, oh, Belichick, he can just pull any guy in and he's gonna make him. Credit.
Some people feel it's the system. Some people feel it's the system, but it's also how they run things there. From what I hear, it's strict. It's strict, but they don't have much fun with it from everyone.
Except for when they're lifting that Lombardi trophy.
And that's it. And really, you could use a year, lose a year or two of fun, I guess, for some trophies, for some Lombardi trophies. Because really, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. It's guys that play, 17, 15 years, 10 years.
Gates, your teammate.
And never see the Super Bowl anything, besides them watching it on TV,
You played a great game against the Patriots. You had the 87-yard touchdown run. It's the longest touchdown that they allowed all year long. You averaged more than 9 yards per carry. You had 14 for 132.
Running play for Gordon. Trying to loop around. Finds an opening, and there goes Gordon down the sideline. Does Gordon have enough speed to take it all the way? Melvin Gordon. He's in. Touchdown, Chargers. 87-yard rip.
Philly's going to come out in this game and try and run, the RPOs as well, the run-pass option stuff, but they have sort of a running mentality as well with the Eagles. What did you guys see? What did you see where you were able to run the ball that day against the Patriots?
They missed some tackles, and linebackers weren't in position. They made a couple mistakes, and that's why I was able to gash them, on that big run. And, but they, like I said, they sewed up some of them holes a little bit in that second half. They made some adjustments. We'll see, man. I think this game solely depends on how Nick Foles come out and play.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel that way. Can Nick Foles do it or not? Is Nick Foles sort of up to the challenge?
I think he is, though.
You do? Think he's up to the challenge?
I think he's going to come to play.
Yeah.
He want to show people that he deserves to be in this league. And talking to a guy that was probably almost out of the league to being in the Super Bowls, being a starting quarterback, I think he wants to show people I can start for any team and take you guys back here. And I hope he shows that. I hope he shows that, man, because that's another opportunity for him and his family and for him to put food on his table, for his family, man, food in his kid's mouth.
In New England, one of the weaknesses of the defense, at least the fan perception, is the linebacking core.
Yeah.
That when you look at the – with no Hightower in there,
Yeah.
When you look at the Patriots linebackers, is that a bad matchup for them versus, the Eagles and that speed?
I guess you could say that. But they're in position now. They're going to be in position. I can guarantee you they're going to be in position. It's not like, they are NFL players as well. It's not like they're just going to go out there and it's going to be, a show, I guess, if you want to say. Those guys going to come out there and play. It's everything's on the line. It's easy. It's go home with something and you leave with nothing. Those guys going to be in position. You can guarantee that.
But isn't there a thing, especially you would know at that level, there are guys that are in position to tackle you. You can fly. You just outrun the angle.
Yeah.
Like all the X's and O's you want. sometimes it's just man v man, and one guy's just better than another guy.
Yeah, I think with, you know, with how Jay runs, how LeGarrette runs, and you know, LeGarrette going up against those guys, I think he got a good feel of what he can do. Cause you know, you go up against some guys for so long, you know what move that you could do to hit that guy with. You know what he's gonna fall to. You know, Blunt went against these guys, so he knows their weakness. You know, so I'm expecting him to have a good game, especially with him coming out. The New England not paying him to keep him around. I think he comes out fired up, and Corey's fire. You know, great vision, make you miss type of guy. And Jay's just a hard, heavy hitting train that just moves forward. So I'm excited to see it. I almost want to go to the game, man, to watch these boys play. But I know I'm going to get salty, so I'm going to just watch it from the TV.
So I want to ask you about something you just mentioned there, which is the idea of, like, you know, oh, LG played for them, so he knows something.
Yeah.
We talk about that all the time. Do players talk about that? Is that overblown?
I wouldn't say it's overblown, but it's definitely something you need to, you know, be aware of, because you know, you got to come with something different. You know a guy that knows every move and makes a difference. Backs study linebackers, you know, and linebackers study backs. That's just what it is. And if you've been up against a guy in practice and, you know what it is, it won't be as hard to make that guy miss. I can tell you that. We'll see what happens. You know, it's going to be a chess match. Let's say that.
Melvin, thank you so much for joining us here.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Man.
You got that 1,000-yard season
yeah.
this year, 1,105 yards. Another great season
yes,
for
sir.
You. So thank you for stopping by Season
yeah,
Ticket and breaking down Super Bowl 52 for us.
So, man, thank you. Thank you.
All right, next we turn to the other side of the ball and welcome cornerback of the hometown Minnesota Vikings, Trey Waynes. Trey, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for stopping by here. What has this week been like? I know you expected to be playing in this game. What has it been like to have the Super Bowl here in Minnesota?
It's been really hectic. You know, just everybody flying in, you know, all these different events, you know, going to and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's really cool to see the city, you know, host this great event and just see how you know, all the changes being made just to support it.
When you look at this matchup between the Eagles and the Patriots, obviously you guys just played the Philadelphia Eagles and you saw what they can do. When you look at this matchup, which team do you think has the advantage?
You want my honest answer?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I want your answer as a player who breaks down film, who studies.
Oh, offenses. That kind of answer.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you look at this.
I really don't care.
Oh, no, no. Okay. No, I want your expertise.
I would just say the X factor, man, Tom Brady. You know, he's been there, done that. They're probably going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. And just, you know, to see what he did last week or a couple weeks ago with that messed up hand, and, you know, still come out there against a great defense, you know, up-and-coming Jaguars team, you know, still to pull it off. And then what he did last year in the Super Bowl, you know, I think he's, you know, you got to worry about him. Because obviously, you know, you can go down, like, what, 30 points and, you know, still come back and just pull off, you know, the biggest game.
Yeah, it was 28-3.
Yeah, so it's just I think, you know, the Eagles really got to worry about, you know, containing him.
Our players, you mentioned, you know, Tom Brady, you mentioned that factor. Even as a player, is it still possible to be a fan of another player? Like, can you appreciate what Tom Brady does?
Oh, yeah. Just because, I mean, you got a lot of people out there that's going to just, you know, hate, you know, and, you know, all the hate comes from someone, you know, who's great. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you don't get that hatred unless, you know, someone's, like, being great at something that other people can't do. And, you know, like I said, he's probably going to go down as one of the best in, you know, history. And you got to give him respect. You know, even if you don't like him, you got to respect him, so.
You mentioned hate. It seems like the Vikings fans, there's a lot of hate here for the Eagles. In fact, Jalen Mills, I was talking to him Super Bowl opening night, and he said the hate is real because the Vikings fans obviously wanted their team to be in this game. That's an unusual situation for the Patriots. We had Melvin Gordon on the other day, and he was saying a lot of players normally are like, oh, man, we're tired of the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We want somebody else mm-hmm. to win. But here in Minnesota, it seems like the Patriots are actually the good guys because they want the Eagles to get defeated here.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Just what's just your opinion on that, the way Vikings fans have sort of embraced the Patriots here?
I mean, I don't really blame them. I don't think Vikings fans, I mean, they're obviously upset about the loss.
Yeah.
But I think they're more upset of how, you know, they were treated and just the level of disrespect. Just from the stories I heard,
yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, wow. Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's a game. You know what I'm saying? You don't gotta like, hit people, you know, throw beers on them, stuff like that. And, I can see towards the players, but, you know, definitely not, you know, fans or, like, you know, families of the players. I mean, that's uncalled for, so.
What's your opinion of Nick Foles? You know, a lot of people look at this game and they say advantage Patriots, not just because Tom Brady is arguably the greatest of all time, but mm-hmm. because on the other side you have a backup quarterback in Nick Foles. Are people underestimating him?
I think people were. Yeah, but I mean, it's a league where, you know, one person goes down, next man up. And, you know, that's been proven, you know, time and time. I mean, look at Case Keenum. You know, he came in and did the same thing. So, I mean, you really got to give Nick, you know, the respect he deserves. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
You mentioned earlier about Tom Brady and the respect you have for him. You haven't had a chance to face him yet in your career. Mm-hmm. How much would you like to do that?
We are next year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're excited about that opportunity?
Yeah, it'll be a fun experience. Yeah. I mean, not many people can say they went up against the best quarterback ever. So.
And I know you mentioned before that, you know, you're not really interested. Will you even watch this game on Sunday?
Probably not, honestly. But I don't know if I watch it this year. I mean, if I do, it won't be the whole game. It'll be on, and I'll be in the room, or I'll just walk back and forth. But, you know, I really don't, you know, have too much interest in it.
Is that because of, you know, the point in the season that your season ended? Or
I'm done. Yeah, when I'm done, I'm done.
All right, Trey, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket. We appreciate you taking the time in your backyard. After the break, much more from Super Bowl 52 and Radio Row. We'll hear from former Steelers running back and longtime NFL analyst Merrill Hodge. Stay with us. Welcome back. If you like Season Tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. All right, we're here at Super Bowl 52 with former Pittsburgh Steeler Merrill Hodge, now working for Your Call Football. Merrill, thanks for joining us here on Season Ticket.
You betcha, man. We're at Super Bowl 52?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Super Bowl 52.
I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I'm brain dead. I don't even know where I'm at. I might say some things I'm not accountable for, but okay. I'm like stupid right now. I can't even think straight.
Well, you're always thinking straight when you look at the film, and that's one reason
True. We're
really happy to have you on. How did the Eagles slow down Tom Brady and score enough points to get the upset?
Well, that's a loaded question. That's a tough thing. Let's start with the first thing. You know, how do you disrupt Tom Brady? You know, I know a lot of people, and it has been proven, you know, if you can hit him, obviously that's everybody's wish list. But there's more ways to disrupt the passing game than just hitting your quarterback. I mean, you can disrupt your wide receivers. You can make that difficult for them. The timing just has to get knocked off somewhere. One of the most important aspects of the NFL you have to do to win on a consistent basis is you have to control the tempo of the game. Now, if I can control tempo, look, I know what I mean by that. If a fan's like, what does that mean? Okay, Jacksonville did that against the Patriots. They controlled the game. Now, if they had one more second on the clock, we might not be talking about the Patriots being here had they got that first down versus it being 3rd and 13. There was no shot of them getting that 3rd and 13. If you can control the game, you have to have really the best way to do it is a power running game, which Jacksonville had. Well, Philly has that. That might be the most significant thing. And I guarantee you, Belichick and that crew are most worried about that, because if they can control the game, then Foles becomes an awesome complement to that offense. Well, Belichick and that crew are like, hey, listen, we can't let that happen. We got to make him throw. We got to put the burden on him. We got to make him shoulder more than they want him to shoulder. That's how you can make Philadelphia uncomfortable. That's how you could win this game if you're New England. But if they can't stop that, that's going to be an advantage for Philadelphia.
And I think that was the game plan that both Tennessee and Jacksonville had. Jacksonville obviously executed it almost perfectly and still lost.
But what didn't they do? What, I mean, aside from that third down, they just couldn't complement it enough with other phases of their offense.
Yes.
That's the one problem. That's why. Listen,
and the running game got slowed down in the second half by the Patriots.
And they started blitzing. They started doing a bunch of things with their fronts. You know, if you go back to when these two teams played, what was it, 13 years ago that they played? The one thing that was the difference in that Super Bowl, that wins the Super Bowl for them, because at the second half, Brady's getting thumped all over the place. Donovan McNabb's getting thumped all over the place. What did the Patriots do? The Patriots went to Corey Dillon like 4 or 5 straight times in a row. They calmed everything down. They got Philadelphia thinking more about stopping that run than hitting Tom Brady. Philadelphia had no answer. They just kept chucking it. Patriots kept hitting them because they knew they didn't have that other face to it. They didn't have that other option. They didn't have that security blanket to go to.
One security blanket they haven't had all year is Julian Edelman. That's a guy who was obviously huge last year in Super Bowl 51. I would say in New England, there have been mixed reviews for Brandon Cooks in his first year as a Patriot. What do you see on the film when you look at Brandon Cooks?
Well, here's what he does have, rather. See, he makes a catch or doesn't. You got to respect his speed. You got to respect a vertical shot. If you sleep on it, that's what makes Brady so great. Like if I narrowed down what makes Brady so great, aside from how he prepares, how he takes care of himself, and all that to me is unique and awesome, and everybody could learn from that. The guy executes the play. You know how many guys, quarterbacks in the league, the flat route's open right now, but I'm like, yeah, I want to throw the dig. The dig ain't open because they gave me the flat. But now the dig ain't open because the flat was open, but I didn't take it. Now we got a problem, and it's 2nd and 10. Well, guess what Brady does? I'll take that flat. We might have a 1st down or 2nd and 2. But it's not 2nd and 10. Now you take care of the flat. Fine, I hit the dig on you. Oh, really? You want to sleep on my guy who's a speedster? Well, I'm going to take a shot on you. I think that's what makes him great.
One of the matchups I'm intrigued to see in this game is the Philadelphia safeties, Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod, Corey Graham, who are pretty good against Brady. From the standpoint of Brady's so good at moving players with his eyes, you know, what kind of eye discipline will those guys have to have in this game?
Eye discipline, you know, when you're talking about safeties, they're good safeties, and oftentimes good safeties actually can be easier moved than bad safeties.
Really? That's interesting.
Because they are so good and pay so good to detail. So when you have a really good quarterback, they understand that. So they're like, what do they trust? What do they like? Now I'm going to take advantage of that. So it's the safeties that have no clue that you're getting trouble with. You know, I remember one time, it was against the New England Patriots, actually. And they're in New England because there was the time frame where Peyton just couldn't beat him. And he threw an interception, and I remember when the receiver, the DB caught it, it was like, he looked shocked that Peyton would throw it to him. Well, afterwards, Peyton was like, the guy, he wasn't supposed to be there. And I'm like, what, he wasn't supposed to be there? Well, then you back the covers and they did an NFL Films piece on this.
Yeah.
He did. He busted the coverage. He wasn't supposed to be there. And so Peyton knew it, and that's why I threw it. And then when he saw him, like, you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why, you know, the good ones, sometimes you can move a little bit better because they are so good.
That's really interesting to look at it that way. Do you buy this Philadelphia defense? The last 4 games that they've played, they've held opponents to 10 points or fewer. That would say that you have a defense that is elite caliber. Do you look at this defense and see that?
I mean, I don't think you hold Tom Brady to 10 points, but it's a good enough defense to way that team offense works to win the game. It's a good enough team, because that's ultimately what you have to have. Yeah, it's a good enough team to beat them.
I know the big talk among those of us who are not football experts like you this week has been, oh, the RPOs, the run-pass options. It is interesting when you look at it that the Eagles ran the most RPOs this year and the Patriots faced the least amount of RPO plays. Is that something, to your point about Belichick, where with 2 weeks that will make the difference defending the RPOs?
You're not going to stop it, okay? So how can you minimize it? Because they're so good at it. And you're right, the Patriots have not handled those read option things very well at all. Well, where they nail you is when you fail to tackle or you make a mental bust. So don't make those and tackle. Yes, they're going to complete the ball. They're going to get 6 shot tackling because we do not want it to be 16 or 60. I mean, they're good too. I mean, we're not going to stop every one of them. But let's not let it get worse on us. Let's tackle. And I think if you think in concepts like that, you're much better off without putting your team in an impossible situation.
And the Patriots, one thing I have to say, another hallmark of a Bill Belichick team, having covered them since 2006, they normally tackle pretty well. They're normally a pretty sound tackling team. I think of Devin McCourty's tackle in the second half of that AFC title game, a yard short of a 1st down. And what I saw a lot of in the NFC title game, shockingly for Minnesota, throws short of the sticks that ended up beyond the sticks after missing tackles.
Yeah, well, listen, what I love about, like, that you got to respect about the Patriots, like, they're professionals. In the games like this, you always wonder, like who's going to try to be a hero? Who's going to try to win the MVP and do something they shouldn't be doing? The Patriots' first Super Bowl against the Rams was a great example of that. That last drive, the Rams had a linebacker who was a rookie that year. I can't remember if it was from Florida or Florida State. It was a 2nd round. They had a crossing route and a flare route that both went for big yards, and, like, nobody was there. When you went back and looked on tape, you're like, what's this guy doing? Everybody's playing zone, and there's one linebacker running all over the place, like, doing his own thing. And Lovie Smith was the defensive coordinator, and Jaws and I were arguing. Jaws was saying, oh, that's their coverage. I'm like, Jaws, they don't have 10 guys doing one thing and one guy running around. I've never seen that. So I called Lovie, and I said, hey, Lovie, can you tell me what's his – he said to me, Merrill, don't kill that guy. And I'm like, no, I was. I just wanted to know – if that was a real coverage, if that's what he was supposed to be doing. He's like, nah, he just, young kid, he just tried to be a hero and go make plays that he should have been making. And I'm thinking, how devastating is that? See, there's where I got The coach has all the power but no control. Once they walk in the white lines of a football field, all bets are off. That guy's where he's supposed to be. That drive does not happen.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And I'm going to tell you, if I'm Bill Belichick, I take that the next year and go, this is why I'm telling you, do your job.
It would be sort of remarkable when I think about this year and losing Dante Hightower. If they win the Super Bowl, the Patriots I'm talking about, with Marquise Flowers, Landon Roberts, Kyle Van Noy. I mean, that's not talking about.
Well, I'll tell you this, Kyle Van Noy, to me, I remember him coming out at BYU, and I loved that guy. I thought,
really?
I mean, when he went from Detroit and went over there, I was like, that's the perfect fit. Because Kyle Van Noy can do a lot of things. And he's a smart player. I loved him at BYU. I thought he was an outstanding football player. You know, and to me, he's probably an underrated guy. He can be a difference maker. His versatility gives a defensive coordinator some flexibility.
That's interesting. Tell us a little bit about your call football, Merrill.
Well, every fan that's ever watched football, they can call plays. They can call much better plays than the coach that's on the sideline. We all know that. We're going to give you that chance, brother. We're going to play professional football, but the fan will call all the plays. So what we do on first and 10, we throw a bundle up on the screen or your app, and you select the play that you think will be most successful against the defense. Because, listen, I will give a suggestion, but if the majority goes somewhere else, that's the play we run.
All right, that is the great Merrill Hodge. Merrill, thanks for breaking down Super Bowl 52 for us.
Much.
We appreciate you dropping the knowledge, and thanks for stopping by Season Ticket.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Don't stray too far from the Season Ticket podcast feed, though. We've decided to fully embrace the Patriots mantra, no days off. No days off this week, which means we have yet another episode for you tomorrow on Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're not going to want to miss that one. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll see you on Super Bowl Sunday.